My name is Selena Witt. I am 17 years old. Today is September 28th, 2019. I am speaking with Barbara Stacy, who is my grandmother. We are recording the interview in Hurley, Virginia. Can you tell me about what you do for a living, or if you're retired, what do you do for a living? What did you do?
I'm a retired school teacher. I taught for 31 and a half years in Buchanan County at two different schools. I started teaching in 1974, and I taught at J.M. Bivens Elementary on Slate Creek for 4 years in kindergarten. While teaching at J.M. Bivens, I became pregnant, and I had a daughter. Then I transferred to Hurley, well, actually D.A. Justice Elementary at that time, after 4 years. And when I taught there, I taught kindergarten for 2 years. And then I took a medical leave of absence, and I was out for 3 years. When I went back, I started teaching in first grade. Then later, a couple years later, I had to take a educational leave, and I was out for 1 year. And then when I went back, I taught first grade for many years. Eventually, they put me back in, they moved me to second grade after we moved, DA Justice closed down, and we moved up to the Hurley Middle School, and I taught second grade there for a few years, and then my last 2 years of teaching, I was back in kindergarten.
What did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
I had a lot of thoughts, dreams when I was little. I used to read a lot of books, and I read a lot of books about nurses. So I thought I wanted to be a nurse. I got over that real fast when I realized I didn't want like all that gory stuff. Then for a while, later in life, later in my high school years, I thought I wanted to be a home interior decorator. Didn't care for that later after I got in college. So then I just happened into teaching. My dad had always encouraged me, so I started taking education classes, and I loved it.
Are there any lessons your work life has taught you?
To always think before you say anything. That's a life, that's something you need, not just in your work life, but in everything that you do. Because if you give it a day's rest in your mind, your attitude may change and you won't say anything that you didn't mean to say.
Do you have any favorite stories from your work life?
One story from teaching, seeing a child, actually seeing them improve just kind of almost overnight is one of the biggest thrills that you can get as a teacher. And I had a little boy one time that could not catch on to math. He went out to Title I math and everything. Then just seemed like all of a sudden one day he caught on to add. He realized that those numbers were up on the wall, and all he had to do, he could count, and all he had to do was find that number on the wall and then count over to it and go to his math problem and put that many sticks beside of it. Then he would look at the next number, find it on the wall, count over to it to find the name of it, go down to the number and put that many sticks, and then he would count all of his sticks, go back to the wall and count till he found the number on the wall that corresponded to the number that he was saying, and then copy it off of the wall onto his paper. And that was just overnight he got that. And that was one of the greatest thrills, seeing him, even though he didn't know his numbers, being able to add. And I had another little boy, just seemed like overnight he caught on to his sounds. He couldn't read, but he finally got caught on to the sounds of each letters, and he read a whole sentence for me that he couldn't read before just by sounding out each letter. And that was a great big thrill too, because I realized he finally had the gist of it and was going to be progressing.
If you could do anything for work, what would you do and why?
That's a hard one. Working with kids is the best thing. So maybe a daycare, because I've done a lot of babysitting with my grandchildren. And I've learned to how to, you know, sing to them, play with them and stuff, which is harder now that I'm older, but I still enjoy it. I've got a new grandbaby right now that I do it with, and I've done it with the others for grandchildren.
Can you tell me about your parents?
My parents were super. My mom, her name was Wanda Madge Wolfert Burks. She married Robert Burks. She was born and raised in this area, in the Kentucky and Virginia, Buchanan County area, and she was raised here. She was always, ever since I can remember, she was kind of sickly. And I remember that when I was real young, she had to have a hysterectomy and couldn't have any more children, and that bothered her. And then she developed a lot of pain in her legs, and one of her legs was shorter than the other, so she would have to wear shoes built up. And then eventually they found that she had a heart problem, and they sent her to the University of Ohio, and while she was there, they found cancer. So there wasn't really, they couldn't treat one thing for another, and she passed away when I was 29 years old, I believe. My daughter was 1 year old, and she was such a loving and kind person, and anybody that you meet now that still remember her, and all through the years since she passed away in 1978, there's no one that has a bad word to say about her. They all talk about how loving and giving and kind she was. And my dad, I had him until just about 9 years ago. And after my mom, he was always there for me. They both were. And encouraged me to do things and supported me in anything that I did. And after my mom died, my dad became, I call him my rock. He helped me when I went through a divorce. I was real bad, in bad shape, and he helped me through that. I went back to college to get my master's degree, basically so I could take the time off from teaching, because I was so upset with the divorce that I couldn't work each day. So he supported me, financed, and helped me get my master's degree so I could have that year off for my education and a year off to recover from the divorce, which was a great big help. And all through the rest of his years, anytime I needed anything done, because I was a single mother, he was there to help me. And he was greatly missed. And basically, that's one of the things that led to my retirement after 31 and a half years. When he passed away, I was just so upset that last year I taught school, it was very hard for me to do it. So I just decided to take my retirement. I had the years in, and I stayed home.
Where did you grow up, and what was your childhood like?
I grew up in two parts of the country. I was born in Tazewell County in Richlands, and was raised in Hurley from birth till sixth grade. When I was real little, a baby, my mom and dad had some marriage problems and they divorced. And my mom went to North Carolina to work. And my dad lived here. And mom couldn't keep me while she worked, so I stayed with my maternal grandparents, John and Mary Wolford. And dad would come and get me and take me to his mom's house for the weekend and stuff like that. And I can remember a little bit about it. But then after a year, they got back together. And the mom moved back to Hurley. And we lived in Hurley, till I was in sixth grade. And finances got real bad. Daddy was in the coal business, and he got real bad. So we moved to Elkton, Maryland, where my dad had relatives. And we lived up there for a year. And Daddy was still homesick for Hurley, so we moved back down here when I was in the seventh grade. And business still was bad around here and couldn't make it financially. We stayed here a little over a year. And Mom and Dad went on and moved back to Elkton in the late winter, early spring of my eighth grade year. And I stayed with my grandmother on my mom's side and finished my eighth grade at Hurley. And then I joined them in Elkton. And we lived in a little house out in the country that was between Elkton and Chesapeake City. And from where we lived, I had to go to school at Chesapeake City. And the most memorable thing about that was every day I had to cross twice, going and coming, the biggest bridge I had ever seen. And it was so big, it even had a curve in it. And I went to school at Bohemia Manor in Chesapeake City for 3 years, 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. Then we bought a house in town of Elkton, and we moved. And I couldn't go back to Bohemia Manor. Daddy went to the school board, since it was my last year, to try to see if I could go to school. Since I was driving, I could go drive to school every day. And they said no, the only way I could is if I had a doctor's excuse. Well, we wouldn't do that because there was no medical reason, just that I wanted, you know, to go back with my friends. So I went ahead and entered Elkton, even though I already had my class ring and everything from Bohemia Manor. And I made so many friends that year at Elkton, and I loved it. And I had one of my best school years ever. Then after I graduated Elkton, I attended a community college there in Cecil County. That at the first year, they shared the high school because all of the classes were at night. And then the next year, they moved to a bigger high school, newer one, in Northeast, where the whole school wasn't used yet. So we had classes during the daytime. And I graduated from Cecil Community. And then I went on to my final 2 years. I had trouble trying to decide where I wanted to finish my college education. And I had a cousin, Gail Rife, and several friends from Hurley that were going to East Tennessee State University in Johnson City, Tennessee. So I decided, since Mom and Dad moved back to Hurley, I decided I'd go to to school with them there where I knew somebody. Big mistake. It was too big for my personality. And I went 2 quarters there. Didn't like it. Didn't do good. And so I left. I come back to Hurley to Mom and Dad, and I said, I was still homesick for Elkton because I felt like Elkton was my home. We still owned our house up there. So my aunt went with me. She had lived with me all through high school. So my aunt went with me, and we went back to Elkton. And I got a job working in a Dairy Queen. I worked 1 year, 1 week, and I decided, nope, that's not for me. And that's when I decided to get into teaching. And I applied to Pikeville College in Kentucky, which is close to where Mom and Dad lived. And I moved back down here, and I went to Pikeville. And that was a really good into my childhood. But I loved it at Pikeville. I made my best friend for life at Pikeville. We are still stay in touch weekly, sometimes 2 or 3 times a week. She lives in Kentucky, and that was one of my best decisions. That was then after I graduated from college, I went to work and got married a year later.
Tell me about when you found out you were going to be a mother.
I remember the day that I found out. I married a boy named Jimmy Stacy from Hurley. And we had been married about a year and a half. And we had decided about several months before then to go ahead and start our family. So I started feeling sick and tired, and back then you didn't have these pregnancy tests you could go to the dollar store and get to find out. You had to go to the doctor. And they had a little clinic in Hurley beside the high school. So one Saturday morning, I went to the clinic, and Jimmy drove me up there, and he waited out in the car. And I went into the clinic and told them what I wanted, and they did a pregnancy test. And that's when I found out that I was pregnant. And it was so exciting.
What was my mother like when she was growing up? Do you have any favorite stories about her?
She was a beautiful, blonde-haired little girl. But her birth was really rough. When I went into labor, she didn't move down the birth canal, and I developed an infection. And I went into labor on a Wednesday night, and they took me to Pikeville to where my doctor was. And finally, by Friday morning, she still hadn't moved any, so they decided to do a C-section. And she and I both were very infected from where she was in the birth canal so long. And I didn't get to see her. I had her on Friday morning, and then I didn't get to see her till Sunday. So that was one of the roughest times of my life. They told my husband that if we made it through the first 48 hours, we had a good chance. And I was told that he passed out as soon as they said that. But she was in isolation in the incubator, even though she was weighed 9 pounds and something and had IVs in her head. They had me in isolation, and I was swollen till they said I was unrecognizable. But we came through it and got to come home. And she was just a joy to us all. I guess one of the wildest things she did was always ended up being with her friend Becky Stacy. They decided to climb the mountain one day, and she climbed the mountain real good, but she couldn't get back down. And we had a time getting her back down. Her and Becky decided to go sleigh riding without a sleigh one winter. They went up in the mountain and took them a garbage bag and slid down. And before they didn't have any control over that garbage bag, they straddled a tree. And then one time, Becky and her decided they was going to give her highlights one night. And they kept going in through the living room, from the bathroom to the kitchen. And finally, it hit me, what are they doing? They was carrying stuff. So I went into the bathroom to see what they were doing. They had peroxide and bleach, and Becky was going to put it on Melissa's hair to give her highlights. Actually, they already had some of it on them. I made them wash it real fast. They had just got it on it and kept her hair from being bleached out. So they did some really wild things, her and Becky did. They went roller skating, and Becky fell and broke her leg. And it was her and Becky all the time. Although they weren't friends, they were friends, but they were closer at home than they were at school. They ran around with different groups at school. But at home, they were always the best of friends. They lived close by, but that whole class was friendly with each other. So it was a real good bunch of kids.
Do you remember any songs you sang to her when she was a baby? And can you sing one for me now?
This is a wild song to sing to a baby. I was teaching kindergarten when she was born. And one of the songs we used to sing with our kindergarten class was On Top of Spaghetti. They loved it. Well, I'd sit and hold Melissa, and I'd sing it to her, and she liked it. She could be crying, and I'd start singing it to her, and she would just quit crying and watch me sing. And I sang it until she got great big. And it goes... On top of spaghetti, all covered with cheese, I lost my poor meatball when somebody sneezed. It rolled off the table and onto the floor, and then my poor meatball, it rolled out the door. It rolled in the garden and under a bush, and then my poor meatball was nothing but mush. So if you like spaghetti all covered with cheese, hold on to your meatball and don't ever sneeze. Achoo! And she would love it. And then as she got bigger, another song I sang to her was Little Rabbit Foo Foo, which was a finger play. And she loved that one too, but I won't sing it right now because it's long.
As this interview is coming to an end, I would like to ask you one final question. What advice would you give me about being a parent?
Being a parent is a hard job, but it's a fulfilling job, and it is a loving job. And it's one that you'll never, well, it lasts us all of your life. Not just when your child grows up, but all of your life. Always be loving and caring, even from the first moment you hold them in your arm. Hold them tight, not tight enough to hurt them, but to let them know you're there and that you care for them and that you'll always be there. And then they will grow the way they should grow. They'll feel like they have been nurtured and loved, and provide for them. But sometimes you can provide things that they really don't need, and it can make life rough on them later on. So kind of be aware of that. But always be for them. They're your child. They're your baby. For your whole life. For their whole life. For your whole life. And even though they may grow up and be on their own, they always need their parents. They all, even though they think they know it all, parents can still be a big help to them, not just financially, but emotionally. And try to raise them the best that you can to be the best people that you can.
Thank you for your time.
We did it.